coins, commands, and questions. Before we get into it, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we think about these parables and stories and questions and coins, that you enliven your word to our hearts and minds, that we may understand and know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Has anyone in the last year either watched a game or played sport and they've just done something amazing has happened that they've just gone, yes! Has that happened to anyone?
Yes.
Yes, Leona, can you tell us about it? Yeah, right. Okay. It was a grand game, that one. It was, yeah. That was a real ripper. Anyone else think of any that they have just got? Yeah, Josiah? Right. I thought you were going to say when Mum finally turned up today. Yes! Anyone else? The other night, yeah, Corbin? When Mum turned up here, yeah, that's right. The other week we were watching Detroit Pistons and I was at the start, you know, our retreat, remember that? I was sitting on the table and I'm like, yes! Just pumped that they were going to win and they won in overtime. You know, I got excited by that. This next thing doesn't happen too often to me, but have any of you ever been in a conversation with someone and it's almost hostile and they say something to you and you have the comeback and you go, yes. Any of you ever encountered that? Score one for me. Yeah, I don't get to do that very often because the good comebacks for me are always a day later. Yeah, is anyone else there? The day later comeback I'm the master of. Well, in talking about coins, commands and questions, Jesus isn't one that's a day later for going, you know, yes, or strike one up for me. Here we encounter the Pharisees and scribes or Herodians coming to him in order to trick him. They want to trick him so that he could actually be killed. And they wanted to catch him. But Jesus is so quick on his feet that he's able to look through their hypocrisy and know that they're trying to trap him. And it's like, you know, when the raging bull comes to the guy with this thing here, and they just sort of, you know, move out the way. Jesus just sidesteps their questions that are designed to undo him. And he almost, you know, as the bull goes past, they stab. It's like Jesus, you know, silences them as they go past. They've got no comment. They've got no comeback. Jesus is able to silence them. Before I get too deeply into the coins, commands and questions, I just want to pick up a few things in chapter 12, which the people say about Jesus, and it's absolutely true about him, but they're saying these true things about him in order that Jesus would be trapped. That's why they're saying this, even though it's true. In verse 14, "Teacher, we know you are a man of integrity." True? Absolutely. "You aren't swayed by others." Is that true? So give us some examples of when he wasn't swayed by others. What do you think? Yeah, in regard to marriage, yep. And what else? In the temple, the money changers. He at other times said to the Pharisees, "You brood of vipers." When the lady was caught in adultery and brought before him, he gets down on her level and he's not looking at who's before him, but rather that there is a person before him. So in so many ways, he doesn't pay attention to who they are. So that's true. And they also say, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. So they're actually, Jesus is like a big bit of bread and they've got the butter and they're buttering Jesus up here, right? Buttering him up in order to get him to say what they want. They think he's going to just say what the law should say here. In that, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? So what do you think the Jewish people would like to hear? What do you reckon their response would be? What do they want? No! Why not? Because Caesar, there, it would be like, say, Indonesia invading us and then demanding taxes off us. We wouldn't want to pay them, would we? Because it's our land and we pray that that never happens. But you can see why the Jewish people would want Jesus to say, of course we don't need to pay these people who are invading. So that's where one side of the trap is set. The other side of the trap is, if Jesus actually says, no, you don't have to pay taxes, what do you think the Pharisees and the Herodians are going to go and do? They're going to run straight to Caesar and say, Jesus says we don't have to pay tax. He's going around teaching that we don't have to give you any money. And what are the Romans going to do? They're going to kill Jesus. So the Pharisees and the Herodians are banking on that this is the way it's going to go. But Jesus does a little two-step and he swings them around and he gets them to answer the question instead. And no doubt you've heard this many times before, this saying, so I'm not going to spend much time on it. But pretty much Jesus says, where's the coin? Whose image is it on this coin? And then the people say, not Jesus, the people say, it's Caesar's coin. Ah, okay, if it's Caesar's coin, well, you're using his coins, so give to him what you owe him. Okay, we're using his currency, so you're using his roads, you're using all these things. So give to him what is his. But he also then says, and give to God what is God's. Which we'll come back to that in a moment. Give to God what is God's. Well, at the end of this, once Jesus said that, they were amazed at his teaching, and this is where you can just strike one up for Jesus. He absolutely nailed them, and he totally got them silent. So that's going to lead me to the next account within this narrative, when Jesus answers so well, not just in the coin, but also in the other one that follows him. I think there's one about marriage and something else as well, where Jesus is asked questions and he answers in a way that they go, wow, gee, you're amazing. And so this other teacher of the law in verse 28, when he'd heard what Jesus debating with these people and he's answered well, he's come to him and said, what of all the commandments is the most important? And at this point, we're going to break into song. Do any of you know this song? If you do, sing along with me, please. The response that Jesus gave of what is the greatest command is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love all of mankind as you would love yourself, and the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and mind, and love all mankind. That'll do. I'm not the best singer and you know that, but that's an awesome song, isn't it? It's an awesome song that helps us to remember the commands that Jesus reminded us, which were from the Old Testament, both of those, love God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself, from Numbers and Deuteronomy, both of those Bible verses were taken. But Jesus brings them both together and says, these two are the ones. And in Matthew, the book of Matthew, it's recorded slightly different. And the last bit that Jesus says in those one is, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So if you get these two commandments right, you got it. Now, I really like these two commandments. You might could almost argue it's three, because love God and then love your neighbour and yourself. But these commandments are simple, aren't they? I reckon an Aussie who doesn't particularly like fancy laws or many laws could come at these three. Love God, love yourself, love your neighbour. Don't you think? It's nice and simple. And yet the problem is, we're not very good at doing it. It's very, very simple, but the problem is we're not very good at doing it. I want you just for a moment, humour me here for a bit. I want you to get your pen out. Come on, everyone, get your pen out and get your bit of paper. You got a pen and a paper, all right? Okay, you got pen and paper. All right, now you put your pen and paper down now. What I want you to do in a moment is write down with your pen and paper just one thing this week where you haven't loved the Lord your God or your neighbour or yourself, just this week. I'm just wanting to demonstrate how much, even though it's a simple law, we are not very good at keeping it. So I'll give you some time. Think of just one time when you know, yep, actually, I haven't quite got it. All right, have a think. Okay, pen up, paper up. Okay, humour me, it's not going to hurt. Come on, you can do it, you can do it. All right, I want you to write it down. Now, I'm not going to make you read it out, okay? No one else will see it. Okay, just write it down. Okay, now put your pen down, but keep your paper. And then I want you to grab that bit of paper and screw it up. And then I want you to chuck it out the front here. Are you ready? On three. Oh, no, you've already got it. One, two, three, go. Okay. Ooh, all right. So there's all these little things out here. Yeah, well, here we go. Scratched my neighbour's car. Good one. Deliberately left the toilet seat up. Okay, good one. Oh, here's one with a name on it. James Brain. Did you really eat all the chocolate and blame the dog? Yeah, right. Look, there's just a silly little thing. But the seriousness behind what we do could write down there is that we are, even though we are Christians and we do try to love God, we are still finding it very hard to actually keep it. The law is hard to keep, isn't it? Even though it's simple, the law is hard to keep. And I'm only asking us about this last week, not everything in the last week or everything in your life. Now, before I keep going, I just want to tell you something else that you're not going to believe it. It's going to surprise you. It might even shock you. And it's this. My hair sometimes is really crazy. Okay. It's true. Sometimes my hair is really crazy. And if I don't put on my, you know, game face, my hair goes crazy. Right? I've got a public viewing of my hair. I need to do something about it, or this is how I am. Now, this is a long-term thing. When I was younger, and then that it gets worse. Now, without doing my hair and presenting myself, I'm, you know, all over the place, right? And so why am I telling you this? Because all of us, we have a public face that is most presentable to others. We have a public face. And the things that we write down are normally the public face. That we might let others know that, you know, I might break the law sometimes or not keep God's commands in these ways. But we've also got a private, where we are not as together as we make out. And so on our good days we might just break the commands, but on our non-public days we might really break them. And that leaves us with a problem. What are we going to do? Jesus knew full well, even though these are the greatest two laws, that we're not very good at keeping the law. And so in coming and dying on the cross, he was actually coming to undo the power of the law over us. He was coming to take away that guilt that we might have for not being able to keep even the most simple laws. So that even on our bad hair days or our bad days, we can be called the children of God. Because that is what we are. So why am I thinking about this today? Well, partly was we had a baptism here today and there were lots of people who probably had never heard the story about Jesus at all and wanted to really highlight why is baptism so important. And in order to show why baptism is so important, we need to show what we're being saved from. And I think for every one of us, we know full well what it is. We've been in church around for quite a while, that God has such a gift for us. And in order to understand the gift, we needed to understand the gap between us and God. And we understand the gap by understanding our hearts. And then once we understand our hearts and the need that's there, then we're able to fully appreciate the gift that comes. Now, why is it such a problem for us to break commands anyhow? I'm going to come back to this passage about the coin. Why is it such a problem? Remember how we were able to say, because Caesar's head is on the coin, that the people had an obligation to pay tax to him. That's really what Jesus was saying. And one of the reasons why it's not a good thing for us to break the commands of loving God and loving our neighbours and ourselves is that in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, we're told that we're made in the image of God and that on each and every one of us, God's image is stamped. And if that's the case, then what is stamped with God's image, then it also, there's an obligation towards what is His. Like, say, for instance, if my car is out in the driveway and you decided I'm going to go and scratch the car, right? You are scratching my car, but in scratching the car, you're also breaking relationship with me. Does that make sense? So too, when we hurt the things that have God's image on, ourselves or others, that we are also hurting God, because we're directly hurting him, because we collectively as people are God's. Our image is on them. So this is one of the reasons why it's not good to break the law, but Jesus was wanting to take away all of those things, the consequences of breaking the law throughout all of history. Can you imagine? I know you could probably imagine the one bit of paper that's been chucked out here, but imagine all the paper from your whole life of when you've run amok and been a command breaker, all being chucked out here at once. And not just yours, but the whole world's, not just for now, but from all human history being chucked out here. Well, it would be a terrible place to be, wouldn't it? I wonder if we were coming back to questions, we'd say, God, well, what are you going to do with that? Jesus, what are you going to do with the sin of the world? And we know full well that at the cross he was going to do something about it. Now, this illustration I'm going to use isn't in the Bible, but I find it a helpful illustration as to, first of all, you need to be able to open the door. This is a helpful illustration that Jesus is the key and the door. That the power for forgiveness of all of our wrongdoing is the cross. And somehow in the cross, Jesus is able to suck up to himself all of the evil and pain and shame and guilt throughout all of our life and throughout all of history. He's able to bring it through the power of the cross to himself. And somehow deal with it. And so then the Apostle Paul in Romans 1, he says this amazing thing. He says, a righteousness from God has been revealed. That now, as his people, we have a righteousness that's been revealed from God. Not one that we make by keeping the commands, but a rightness with God that is revealed by him. And this is the best news ever. This is the news that God has made things right. And we have peace with him and each other. And as an outcome, we do keep the law, but we don't keep the law in order to get to heaven. Because of what God has done for us, we want to keep the law and love God and love our neighbours as ourselves, because we love him, not because we're afraid of him. So let's keep on trying to keep those simple laws. Let's try and keep them in our mind, but knowing full well that if we don't get it right, that God wants that to be taken away by the power of the cross, and he has the power to do it. Well, friends, let me pray as we finish before we have our last song. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would write these laws on our hearts, and that because you have first loved us, that we will love you and love others. We pray that you'll continue to help us to leave our trash at your cross and not carry it around. Help us to be your free children of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.